We end tonight's program with the latest installment of our feature, Along for the Ride. This week, our driver is writer Michelle Saros. Michelle is the author of two books, How to Be a Chicana Role Model and Chicana Falsa and Other Stories of Death, Identity, and Oxnard. Michelle recently moved from Los Angeles to New York. She's living in an uptown neighborhood that's known for its Latino culture, but Michelle, being a fourth-generation Mexican-American, found she doesn't always feel right at home.
I met my new friend Amilcar at a bookstore on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I noticed he was buying a Metal Maniacs magazine, and as a young girl, hard rock and metal was just about all I listened to. Amilcar's Mexican. He's also a musician. Besides belting out rancheros at local restaurants and cultural venues, he plays drums in a punk rock band called Huasiponco. Amilcar lives in my neighborhood of Washington Heights, an uptown area of Manhattan populated by working-class Dominican families. The soundtrack of Spanish is spoken with a slightly different accent than I'm used to, and the corn tortillas, sadly enough, are found crammed stiff between Caribbean condiments in the frozen food section. So I have to say that it was pretty cool to meet someone from my new neighborhood who noticed these same differences. So Amilcar, when did you come here to New York?
September 28, 1998.
You miss Mexico, huh?
I can't wait to go back.
When Amilcar told me he was also a chef at a Latino restaurant downtown, I asked him about mole. That's one of the things I miss about California, the mole. You can find that chili chocolate sauce in just about any Mexican restaurant in the Southwest. Amilcar said that his mother's mole was his favorite, but there are a few places in the city that serve fairly traditional mole. He invited me to dinner at Mi Mexico on Broadway. That's near 124th.
One of the last times I had mole was actually at my wedding. We had the mole, we got the paste, and we added peanuts, and then we added chocolate, the Ibarra chocolate.
We use almonds, and we didn't use Ibarra chocolate. We use homemade chocolate that we used to buy in the little store across the street from my house.
Look at me, I'm thinking like, oh, we're using Mexican chocolate. Like, it's so authentic.
I'm not saying Ibarra is not Mexican. It's not Mexican. Ibarra is really good. Sometimes my mother used that, or our abuelita, which is a little better than Ibarra.
You think abuelita's better than Ibarra?
Abuelita is my favorite.
At this point, I'm feeling a little self-conscious. The type of mole my mother made was straight out of a jar, a brand called Doña Maria. As a working mom with two jobs and evening classes, she grabbed just about anything that was store-bought and easy to prepare. Amilcar's mother makes mole in the more traditional manner, including the lengthy process of grinding almonds, chili pepper, and chocolate into a paste. She also blends in bread and plantains.
If we blindfolded you and we had, like, say, homemade mole, and then one side was Doña Maria mole, you would not know the difference.
I know the difference of Doña Maria.
Okay.
Real. But it's just that I think the whole difference is that when you eat Doña Maria, you don't have this feeling that, oh, you saw it making it.
Okay, so when you have it at a restaurant like tonight, are you thinking, oh, this isn't as good because I didn't see it being made?
No, but at least I know they made it here.
How do you know they're not opening a can of Doña Maria back there?
Doña Maria is not that spicy.
But how do you know they don't open Doña Maria and throw some spices?
It doesn't have the color. Doña Maria is pale.
It's a lighter shade of brown. Lighter shade of brown.
Yes.
It's the name of a man. Can I have some lettuce?
Yeah, go ahead.
Personally, I don't think Amilcar would really know the difference. So I returned his restaurant invitation and asked him to join me at my apartment for dinner. I also challenged him to a little taste test, the traditional mole that my Mexican-American mother heated up versus the mole his Mexican mother makes from scratch. So we agreed to meet the following night at 7 p.m. Earlier that evening, I ran out to get all the groceries I needed, first stop picking up a stack of tortillas in that dreadful frozen food section.
I can't even move them. Well, I'll just get these.
After I pried a stack of hardened tortillas from the shelf, a jar of Doña Maria was next on my list. Simple enough. It was a little after 6 p.m. No problem. Hi, do you have mole? Mole? Okay. Do you know there's another market close by? No? Okay. Hi, do you have mole? A little mole paste? Between the check cashing joints and the 24-hour liquor stores, every other establishment in Washington Heights are these mommy and poppy owned markets, filled with rows and rows of rickety metal shelves packed with productos Latinos. But a simple jar of mole paste was nowhere to be found. I looked at my watch. It was almost 6:30. I better move. Mole, do you sell mole in the little glass jars? Do you know somewhere I could find it? No. Okay. Now I really want to find it. This is 147th Broadway Market. I bet you they'll have it here.
Mole? No. Hay mole.
Do you know where I can find it? Do you know? Finally, a good 45 minutes later, my question is met with a nod, and my mole mission is completed. It's now after 7 o'clock. I know Amilcar is waiting for me at my apartment, and I still have to pick up the chicken. It's then that I see one establishment on my block that is familiar to everyone, no matter what part of the country they're from. At the last minute, I decide to buy my chicken there. A joke to emphasize the American of my Mexican-American cooking skills. Won't Amilcar be surprised? Can I order a 4-piece chicken McNuggets? By the time I get home, it's nearly 9 p.m. Luckily, Amilcar was late too, but he had already been waiting a while, so I get to cooking. So I've heated up a little bit of chicken broth, and now I'm going to add some of this paste, Doña Maria mole. I didn't have time to make chicken, so I went and this is going to be so good. I hope I don't get like emotional because this is the way my mom would make it. You get the chicken nuggets. And then you shred it. Okay. And it's really good because the chicken nuggets has this batter. So when I'm going to shred the chicken nuggets to put into the enchiladas, we'll have a little bit of the batter. Have you ever had it like
totally
that?
New for me.
Do you think it'll be good?
I have to taste it first.
Mmm. So do you think the mole, the sauce I made, is too thick, huh?
It's perfect.
Really?
I like that. For you. No, nothing.
And how's the crust from the chicken McNuggets?
Good.
It's good, huh? Mm. Okay, now I'm going to try your mother's mole. Oh, there's no comparison. This is better than both restaurants we went to. Absolutely. And I'm not just saying that.
Well, it's my mother's. It's one of my favorites. So this is basically how we eat mole in Guerrero.
I can't tell if Amilcar really likes my mole McNugget enchiladas, or if he's just being polite, or if he was, like me, just plain starving. It was nearly 10 p.m. by the time we finally ate. I decided to tell him the addition of chicken McNuggets was just a little joke. Did you really think that my mom made him with chicken McNuggets?
Yes, yes.
I've never had it with chicken McNuggets.
I think when you're growing up in the United States and you don't follow the tradition.
Would you like some more?
Can I have a dozen?
Amilcar is right. A lot of people assume because we share a similar skin color, we've had the same experience, shared the same traditions. And that's not true. As a fourth generation Mexican American, I can't possibly share the same traditions that he, a native Mexican, grew up with. But what I discovered after our dinner together is the thing we have in common is much more universal than an ethnic background or a love for hard rock. Like anyone who has moved to a new place, a different city, or a new part of the world, we always want to carry a little bit of home with us. I realize that as recent transplants in New York City, we will always be hungry for the taste of home, our homes.
Right. writer Michelle Saros. There's more of Michelle on the web. Visit NPR.org for Michelle's revelation about cheerleading, Amilcar's mother's mole recipe, Mexican music, and more. Along for the Ride is produced by Melissa Giroux and edited by Susan Davis. The executive editor is Marcus Rosenbaum.